You're listening to Agriculture Today.
House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson says about 20% of the farm bill remains unfinished after the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill, which addressed the majority of priorities for American farmers and ranch families. Thompson, referring to that earlier legislation as Farm Bill 1.0, noted that Farm Bill 2.0 will focus on largely bipartisan, relatively affordable policies estimated at under $8 billion, with funding expected to be fully offset. Now, among the provisions already in place, permanent disaster assistance funding to eliminate the need for ad hoc relief, new tax policy favorable to ag, and expanded eligibility for farm kids seeking higher education. Thompson said the changes across all titles of the bill mark significant progress for rural America. Chairman expects the remaining legislation to move through the House Ag Committee by the end of September and is working closely with Ranking Member Angie Craig and Senate Ag Chairman John Bozeman to finalize the package. Brazil's beef industry entering a new phase, moving from bulk commodity shipments toward premium exports. In June, the country earned certification as free of foot and mouth disease without vaccination. It opened high-value markets like Japan and South Korea. Now, a Japanese delegation visited within days, and a deal with Vietnam soon followed. Brazil's push into Asia coincides with expanded U.S. sales. In May, Brazil shipping 175 million pounds of beef to the U.S., five times more than a year earlier. Year-to-date totals more than doubled, contributing to a 60% surge in total U.S. beef imports. In July, U.S. imposed a 50% tariff on Brazilian beef, raising the effective rate to 76.4%. Major exporters, including Minerva, JBS, and Naturafrig, paused U.S. shipments, redirecting product to Asia and the Middle East. U.S. has responded by strengthening trade ties in Asia, signing new agreements with Japan, the Philippines, and Indonesia. While Brazil's improved credentials boost its global appeal, U.S. beef retains strong brand recognition, longstanding trade relationships, and a reputation for quality. Well, the U.S. soybean industry working to offset declining export volumes to China by pursuing new markets and expanding domestic demand. China's increased reliance on Brazilian supplies has created a significant gap for American growers, prompting a multi-pronged strategy. Trade officials focusing on high-growth protein markets in Southeast Asia includes Vietnam, Indonesia, and the Philippines, where rising poultry and aquaculture industries require more soy meal. Closer to home, Mexico remains the second largest U.S. soybean customer, with opportunities to expand crushing capacity for both domestic use and for re-export. Emerging buyers such as Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Egypt also targeted for growth through trade agreements and technical support. At the same time, U.S. crushing capacity increasing to meet the surge in demand for soybean oil and renewable diesel production, which could absorb the equivalent of hundreds of millions of bushels. Niche opportunities in food-grade soybeans, aquaculture feed, and premium non-GMO markets in Europe offer additional outlets. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
This is the 75th year of NOG being in existence and representing the U.S. wheat growers from the 20 largest wheat producing states.
Chandler Gould is CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers, or NOG, on a historic milestone.
We had a great kickoff at our annual meeting in January, and then had a big press conference with all of our current living presidents at Commodity Classic. And then we'll be continuing that celebration at our fall board meeting in November in Austin, Texas. And so 75 years of advocacy, 75 years of doing what we can to make sure wheat growers can be remain profitable, and 75 years of things that we've learned from so that we can continue to move forward for another 75 years representing the U.S. wheat growers and the needs they have as we continue to work through, you know, complicated issues that continue to head their direction, whether that be through policy or regulations.
Now, with the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill, a lot of priorities for ag are now in law.
There definitely were many of the NOG top priorities included in the Big Beautiful Bill. Two of them definitely being increasing the ARC and PLC prices so that they are more reflective of what current today's cost of production looks like. But then it also went further and strengthened crop insurance and added some additional monies and authorities to our different conservation programs. And so it really hit the big areas that we were looking for. More price protection from the market, and then, of course, making our risk management tools like crop insurance more available. So when you look through the bill, the big items that we continue to push for in a farm bill were included in the Big Beautiful Bill, and we want to thank our members in the House and the Senate for passing that. That the 2018 farm bill was a great bill, but it just simply was not in touch with current today's cost of production, with everything from inflation and the cost that, you know, of COVID and everything else that raised those important factors. And then, of course, as we continue to look at trade issues and crop protection tools, as those prices have also gone up. So between Title I and Title II and several of the other and the crop insurance, we were very pleased with the passage of that bill.
But again, the One Big Beautiful Bill, not a farm bill. What didn't make it into this one?
We have several programs that we're calling orphan programs that did not get into the Big Beautiful Bill. And so many of that has to do with our food aid and humanitarian programs, whether they be reformed or moved to other agencies under this administration. Our foreign market or FMD and MAP programs, our uniformity and labeling programs. So saying that, you know, FIFRA is the ultimate say in pesticide regulation. Therefore, we don't have 50 different states trying to put 50 different labeling requirements on, you know, on one crop protection tool. And so there's just been a couple other things that we could have that we definitely need to get Farm Bill 2.0 across the finish line. And then, of course, research being a major factor in there. Wheat, more so than corn and soy, is extremely dependent on public research just because of the smaller margins that we have in the wheat industry. There's more money going into private research of corn and soy than there is for us. And so making sure we've got that research component fully funded will be critical so that we can continue to develop new varieties that are more resistant to the severe weather patterns that we continue to see across the United States and across the wheat belt.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
The July MDM report was actually posted last week.
Dr. Glenn Tonser, Kansas State Livestock Economist.
But July's numbers were good in this metric. So we have a wellness to pay assessment. So retail, so grocery store for at home, and then food service away from home, dinner meal specifically, we value and we estimate the wellness to pay for 8 different items or meals every month. And in July, 6 of those retail items, the values were higher than the month before, and all 8 of the food service dinner meal were up. So put a bow on that for a moment. This measure would say domestic meat demand was stronger in July than it was June, which is great. Particularly the food service one I want to call out, because more months than not here in 2025, we've had slippage on this metric for food service and foot traffic has been down and so forth. And at least in July, it appears we reversed that. We measure something called protein values, 12 items. Tell me the 4 that are most important when you buy in protein, the 4 that are least. And regularly, taste, freshness, price, and safety lead in importance. So they are dominant. You know, the majority say they are a top 4 consideration. And conversely, the what I call social issues or production practice issues, use of hormones and antibiotics, animal welfare claims, origin and traceability claims, and environmental impact statements, they do exist as important for a subset of the public, but they tend to rank much lower. So it's a smaller share. It's like 10 to 20% would say each of those are top important, where more like 60 to 80% would say those first 4, particularly taste and freshness, are key drivers. We have a self-declared diet component to this. 78% in July said, I self-declare as regularly consuming products derived from animals, which are meat consumers. And there is a small upward trend since we launched this project in February 2020. I'm interjecting this because, you know, particularly in like 2021, going into 2022, there was a little bit of growth in the vegan vegetarian rates. And it's been some time since that was the case. So we continue the trend of self-declared meat is a heavy part of my diet. Back in 2021, we did compared to 2020, there was that decline. But this trend over this, you know, basically 6-year period now is definitely favorable for the meat and livestock industry. More and more in the U.S. are self-declaring to be a regular meat consumer. I think I've used the phrase with you, and I know I have a whole bunch of other people through the summer, you know, quote unquote, meat is having a moment. Protein demand collectively is very strong. That's not unique to beef, but it's consistent with this measure. Every month, I include a measure that's also in the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Survey Index. And it is, how are your current household finances today versus a year ago? Are they better, same, or worse? And in July, 19% tell us their finances are better than they were back in July of 24. That's right on par with the 19% we estimated in June. So no big change in this particular metric. But what's important to appreciate in the so what component of this is if you tell me your finances are improving, you're a lot more likely to visit a restaurant and you're a lot more likely to have meat in multiple meals yesterday, whether it's at home or away from home. So beef, for example, the 19% that said my finances are better, on average, they had beef in 0.76 meals. So like 3/4 of a meal yesterday had beef in it. So not quite one of the 3 is the way to think about it. Well, conversely, the 1/3 of the people that told me their finances are getting worse, it's 0.6 meals. So it's quite a bit less. Those might sound like small numbers, but I always interject here. Remember, we're a country of over 300 million. So take that with big numbers times these small differences, and it's a big consumption rate frequency difference. And we also highlight in the July report a notable difference in the amount of money you spend on food away from home if your finances are deteriorating. So it's nearly a $40 a week less expenditure on food away from home if you tell me my finances are getting worse compared to where they're getting better. That obviously is very relevant for the restaurant channels.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
China tariff deadline is tonight, but do you plan to extend that?
We'll see what happens. China's been, we've been dealing very nicely with China, as you probably have heard. They have tremendous tariffs that they're paying to the United States of America. And we'll see what happens. They've been dealing quite nicely. The relationship is very good with President Xi and myself.
President Trump taking questions from reporters on Monday. He did extend that tariff deadline for China.
I was a little bothered by the fact that Zelensky was saying, well, I have to get constitutional approval. I mean, he's got approval to go into war and kill everybody, but he needs approval to do a land swap. Because there'll be some land swapping going on. I know that through Russia and through conversations with everybody. To the good, for the good of Ukraine. Good stuff, not bad stuff. Also, some bad stuff, for both. So there's good and there's bad. But it's very complex because you have lines that are very uneven. And there'll be some swapping. There'll be some changes in land. And the word that they will use is, they make changes. We're going to change the lines, the battle lines. Russia's occupied a big portion of Ukraine. They've occupied some very prime territory. We're going to try and get some of that territory back for Ukraine. But they've taken some very prime territory. They've taken largely ocean, in real estate, we call it oceanfront property. That's always the most valuable property. If you're in a lake, a river, or an ocean, it's always the best property. Well, Ukraine, a lot of people don't know that Ukraine was largely 1,000 miles of ocean. That's gone. Other than one small area, Odessa, it's a small area. There's just a little bit of water left.
He talks about the difference between Russia and China.
Russia has a very valuable piece of land. If Vladimir Putin would go toward business instead of toward war, it's a warring nation. That's what they do. They fight a lot of wars. A friend of mine said Russia's tough because they just keep on fighting. They beat Hitler, so did we. And they beat Napoleon. They've been doing this for a long time. I asked a question to a very, very smart man that some people like and some people don't like. Viktor Orban, right? From Hungary, the head of Hungary. And he's in that same area and knows the two countries very well. I said, this was before Biden didn't do anything to get us out of it. He could have gotten us out of that. It would have never happened. I said, so can Russia be beaten by Ukraine? He looked at me like, what a stupid question. He said, Russia's a massive country, and they win their country, and they win their life through wars. They fight wars. That's what they do. He said, China beats you with trade. Russia beats you with war. That was a very interesting statement. China's not beating us with trade, not when I'm in charge. But they were beating Biden with trade, but they never beat us with trade. Don't forget, China had to pay $400 billion worth of tariffs when I was last time. That was last time. And if we didn't have COVID, all of this stuff would be loaded. We're finding hundreds of billions of dollars of cash is pouring into our country now because of tariffs. And all we're doing is we're doing what they do to us. It's so beautiful to see it. They found last month, as you saw, $25 billion of excess cash flow. They say, where did it come from? I said, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a place called tariffs.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
This past week was another week of strength overall.
Dr. Glenn Tonser is a Kansas State livestock economist.
AMS called the Fed cattle market on Friday at about 237. So we're holding those previous gains. Actually, early in the week, it was even stronger. And then the week ended a little bit weaker. But as a whole, I would say we held on to notable strength that's occurred the last several weeks. When you look at feeder cattle, not surprisingly, this time of year, we have pretty light volumes. And that definitely is the comment in most of the AMS reports. But what did trade was higher. So one lot here for the, you know, the weekly Kansas report I took note of was a lot of 126 head weighing 822 pounds, sold for 343. And that, of course, would be up compared to certainly a month ago. And the board was consistent with this. So when we look at the CME contracts, the August contracts for live and feeder cattle were both up. Live cattle was at 233, up about $3 on the week. I'll pause there and note that we are slowly gaining. Convergence is the term that's used. Cash and the board have been separate for a while. And you'll take note that over the last few weeks, the board has caught up some with the cash market. We've talked about that, I think, last few times I was on here. Feeder cattle, August contract was 339, up about $5 for the week. So ongoing bull market there in the feeder cattle complex. There was a few other macroeconomic kind of announcements and concerns that came out late Thursday and on Friday. I'm going to talk again about some macroeconomics here in a moment on meat demand specifically, but some revisions in the jobs numbers, some unemployment numbers and so forth that give some pause on the resiliency kind of assumptions in the economy. And several commodities, including cattle, were off Friday, I think is most likely what it was.
Glenn, what were you seeing for boxed beef?
So boxed beef for the week closed up fairly strongly. So choice was 379 on Friday. That was up $16 compared to the Friday before. Select was 355 on Friday, up a full 14. So, you know, my last comment about macroeconomic concerns aside, boxed beef continues to hold well. So collective demand, and I'm saying collective here because remember boxed beef is kind of a wholesale level measure. It's the value of wholesale beef before it gets to the retailer or restaurant or, you know, the export destination. So it's the net of those three market forces, and we continue to see some strength there, and that's great.
Now, we'll talk consumption, we'll talk demand, but is there a difference?
Consumption is, you know, per pounds, per capita pounds of consumption. So how much each person, you know, purchases and consumes with no consideration of the price you paid or the value you put on this product. So it's just a tonnage relative to number of people, right? So it's all quantities. Demand, however, considers the value or what you pay. And a simple example here would be 2024. In 2024, the consumption went up a little bit and the price went up. So demand went up. There's a lot of other years to where there's sort of a price quantity trade-off that if you put more pounds on the market, the price has to go down to clear it. But when you see them go in the same direction, in this case, up in a positive way, then both demand and consumption grew. That's why I interjected that earlier. You know, that alone was the core driver of higher cattle prices in 2024. But what I want to emphasize on folks is growing demand is what's important for economic viability and improvement on the ranch, not just increasing consumption, because you can sort of like give the farm away and give the product away to move a higher volume. But that doesn't necessarily improve consumer expenditures and therefore, you know, total revenue collection, the cattle industry. I belabored this recently in a Cattlemen's Beef Board drive piece. So the Beef Checkoff has a outreach producer, you know, communication thing that's roughly once a month. The end of July segment was a 5-minute piece. It highlighted the meat demand monitor. I belabor that demand isn't a consumption thing. I highlighted how meat demand monitor helps us understand that and why we ought to keep using that resource.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The infrastructure has suffered tremendously, there's no doubt.
Mark Brown is with Plains Cotton Growers.
They don't have the type of safety net that producers have with crop insurance and with the farm bill that tends to help somewhat. Now, we're fortunate for the producers in that the disaster program, the disaster funding that was passed back in last December is now being pushed out the door. And so the county FSA offices have sent out those pre-filled applications, and producers have been in the process of getting those turned back into the county FSA office. And so there is some relief coming from the disaster program. And also, fortunately, in that big, beautiful bill, we had some funds that were in there in order for us to be able to increase reference prices for PLC, and that will be effective as of this 2025 crop. Now, back to the infrastructure, one of the things that we were successful in being able to accomplish this year is to get some help from the state of Texas. And through the state legislature, they recognized how difficult the situation, how dire the situation is actually for a very important infrastructure throughout the state of Texas. And so there has been a program through House Bill 43, which is now having some guidelines set and having an oversight committee put in place. And in the fall, there will be the opportunity for gins and warehouses and other infrastructure businesses that have experienced tremendous losses over the last 3 years just because of the lack of production out here, and they will be able to make applications for either grants or low interest loans that should help that sector of the industry. And they, as I mentioned, they have suffered greatly, and we hope that in most of these counties we'll have enough of a crop this year that production will come up, and it will be in better shape than we have been in the last 3 years. And that's what we need. We just need production so that we can run that through the entire system, and that would help out all of the industry tremendously.
He also talks about the importance of beneficial insects.
So we see a lot of beneficials out in the fields. And where people have been careful and have been patient, in many cases, I'm hearing consultants talking about the fact that these aphids are being taken out by the beneficial populations, which is a very good thing. And then also, we have a different type of insecticide chemistry than we did many years ago, and that is also softer on the beneficials and tends not to cause aphids to explode behind an insecticide application. Some people have had to manage flea hoppers, and in many fields we've had above threshold levels of flea hoppers, and so those had to be sprayed.
Mark Brown, Plains Cotton Growers. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-933.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.